If the heavily favored Chicago Cubs make it to the 2016 World Series, it will be their first appearance in the Fall Classic since 1945. If they win the World Series, they will end a drought that extends back to 1908, when the Cubs won their third straight pennant, then went on to defeat Ty Cobb and the Detroit Tigers for their second World Series championship in a row and their last since then. A Cubs victory will also coincide with the 50th anniversary of one of the franchise's most disastrous baseball seasons. If any Chicago Cubs team in its long history deserves to be called a baseball Titanic, it was those 1966 Cubs. In 1962, just 4 years earlier, the Cubs, with rookie Lou Brock in the lineup, lost a franchise record 103 games. They did, however, escape having the most losses in the major leagues that year because baseball had added National League franchises in Houston and New York for the 1962 season. The Cubs were so bad in 1962 that they finished with a worse record than the expansion Houston team, but the Mets saved them from a complete embarrassment by losing an amazing 120 games. By 1966, the Cubs looked like they finally had the talent to become contenders again. They had three future Hall of Famers in their starting lineup, including Ernie Banks, who, nearing the end of his career, had moved from shortstop to first base. They also had All-Stars Ron Santo at third base and Billy Williams in the outfield. The Cubs' pitching staff was led by left-hander Dick Ellsworth, who, after losing 20 games in the horrible 1962 season, bounced back to win 22 games in 1963 and had become the staff ace. The Cubs also had a highly prized right-hander, Ernie Broglio, acquired from the Cardinals in 1964 for Lou Brock. Once the season began, they added two future Hall of Famers to their pitching staff by acquiring Ferguson Jenkins and Robin Roberts. To make sure that the Cubs played up to their potential in 1966 after an eighth-place finish in 1965, the organization hired another future Hall of Famer, Leo Durocher, to manage the team. In spring training, the brash Durocher told the press, "We are not an eighth-place ball club." Durocher was right about his 1966 Cubs. They weren't an eighth-place team. They started off so poorly that after 13 games, they fell into 10th place, and when their hitters struggled and their pitching collapsed, they stayed there for the rest of the season. By season's end, they'd matched the 1962 team's record of 103 losses. They were so bad that they became the first team in National League history to finish with a worse record than the New York Mets. The current Chicago Cubs, with all their talent, are the oddsmakers' favorites to win the 2016 World Series. As well as the talent, they certainly have the motivation to play up to their potential. If they win the World Series, they'll end a World Championship drought that is now extended through 108 seasons. The Cubs may not need more motivation to win a World Series and end the misery of their long-suffering fans, but they might want to see the collapse of the 1966 Cubs 50 years ago as a cautionary tale of what can happen to a talented team when it takes its talent for granted. What made matters worse for the Cub fans in 1966 was that the following season, the rival Cardinals won the 1967 World Series, their second since the Lou Brock trade. My wife Anita has an expression that she uses when I ask her to predict future events. While I may hope for assurance that my life, or more importantly, my Pittsburgh Pirates, will have a happy ending, the best that I can get from her is, "You never know." As for the Cubs this season, well, as Anita likes to say, "You never know." This is Pete Peterson for Reading Baseball.